media members on the line, if you have a question for any of the coaches here this morning, just hit star one on your keypad. We now welcome to the call the head coach of the UNCW Seahawks, C.B. McGrath. Good morning, Coach McGrath.
Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Two more close ones for you guys. Six straight down by 4 points or less, a 71-68 victory over James Madison, and then a tough 84-81 loss to William & Mary on Saturday. Before we talk about the week ahead, just your comments on the two games last week.
Yeah, that's been the norm lately with my bunch, and they've been battling until the end. It's been a one-possession game. I heard Coach Shaver talk about how they prepare every night for it to be a one-possession game, and we've obviously seen that it's been that way. And, you know, we had some good individual performances. You know, I thought we played pretty well as a team. Just didn't go over the hump against William & Mary. We had a couple chances to get the lead late, and we did not do it. But Devontae Kaycock had another huge week. You know, he averaged 19.5 and 19. You know, he's leading the nation in rebounding. And that's a pretty important category. It happens on both ends of the court. You know, offensively, you're trying to score. Defensively, trying to get stops. But rebounding happens on both ends of the court, and he's leading the nation. And he's seventh in scoring in the CAA. And, you know, I guess it shows the balance of our league. He has not been named CAA Player of the Week, and he's the only one in the top 12 in scoring. And, you know, he's been really consistent for us, and just proud of his development and just how he stays after it. I mean, and rebounding is a gift, you know. It takes mentality. And I heard Coach Mihalik talk about it, you know, with Goosties, and he has that mentality, and so does Devontae. And it's been enjoyable to coach.
We're here with UNCW head coach C.B. McGrath. If you have a question for him this morning, just hit star one on your keypad. And we got a couple in queue if you'll get those for us, Astrid.
Your question comes from the line of Andrew Doty. You may ask your question.
Hey, Coach, hope you're doing well this morning. You talked earlier about one-possession games in the opening. You've already played, you know, four overtime games, which is halfway to the NCAA season record. And after last week's tight ones, you've almost had, you know, four or five, maybe even six more overtime games. And you obviously have quite a few veterans leading your team, but I'm still curious if there's a certain level of developmental, mental toughness, maybe conditioning benefit to having that many overtime and close games. You know, do you think it'll help you and your guys over the next 5 weeks and in the future having those close games right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coaching and playing in really close games, it never hurts you. You know, obviously if you can win some here and there, that helps even more. But there's going to be tight games at all times of the season, whether it's late or early, and the more experience you can get, you know, because we got some guys that haven't played a lot of minutes over their careers, you know, prior to when I got here, and for them to experience, you know, being down 10 with 3 minutes to go and send it to overtime, or, you know, being down 5 with 2 minutes to go and send it to overtime, and just having certain guys foul out and not be playing, and assuming different roles. So they've got a taste of everything, and I think that does help to get guys in different positions, roles for the future. And, you know, obviously, you know, nobody goes out thinking you want to play an overtime game. You know, you want to get the win in regulation. But if it takes an overtime period to settle it, you know, you got to step up and do what you need to do to get that done.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Moe. You may ask your question.
Good morning, CB. You obviously come from a program at UNC known for extreme offensive efficiency through the years, and you've come into a league that's playing offense as well as any conference in the nation. What's it been like going through that the first year with so many great teams and great offenses and players to prepare for?
Yeah, you know, obviously, when I was an assistant at Carolina, I had to, you know, scout my fair share of opponents, and it didn't seem like you had to focus on so many individuals. You know, it's not just one or two guys, and yeah, one or two guys are putting up numbers, but they got these teams are deep. You got three or four guys, five guys averaging double figures, and you know, it's unusual, it's unique. I guess it speaks to the depth of the conference, sort of like what I talked about earlier with Devontae not even being a conference player of the week yet, and Jordan Talley's ninth in scoring, and they're the only two in the top 12 in scoring that haven't been player of the week. So you got to prepare for a lot of guys, a lot of different styles. The coaches that do a great job, and they get, you know, we played William & Mary, and they lead the nation in three-point field goal percentage. And they have four guys that are shooting over 40% from three. And every single opponent for those 21 games they've played have set out to try and slow them down. And obviously Coach Shaver and what he does with those guys is terrific, because they still keep going. And it hasn't been easy. He'll get prepared for all these guys, but it's been fun to try and put the pieces together, trying to solve the puzzle. We haven't done a great job of it, but it's been interesting, and looking forward to a lot more games, a lot more years.
How do you kind of modify your approach to defense, understanding that you are going to give up some points and kind of keep your team in the game when they are having a hard time getting stops?
We've had to change our defenses throughout the course of the game, and so we've had to practice doing that quite a bit more than I'm used to, because there's certain people, certain styles that once they get into rhythm, you got to do a bunch of things to try and get them out of rhythm. That's about the only chance that you can to get stops. You know, sometimes you think, okay, I'm gonna challenge this guy's 3-point shot. Well, unless you block it or don't let him get it off, he might make it. The offensive players are just that much better this day and age. They're used to taking some bad shots, some guarded shots. Where back when I played, or when I used to watch basketball growing up as a kid, if you were within 3 feet of somebody, you wouldn't even shoot it. You know, you'd pass your teammate and try and get a better shot. But now, sometimes guarded shots are the best shots you can get coming down the court, and the people are starting to make a pretty good percentage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Riley. You may ask your question.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Have you gotten a chance to look at Rokas Gustis yet on tape, and what does he do that's allowed him to be so successful? Because obviously that matchup with Devontae is going to kind of be the headline thing this week. What does that matchup look like, and what little bit you've gotten a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I mean, he is a strong kid. He's the first person I see on tape that when he guards in the post, they don't need anybody to come down and double team. And the post player that tries to dislodge him can't. That's quite an advantage to have a guy that never gives any ground defensively. And therefore, it's hard to get into lane against him, so he gets a lot of rebounds. We've watched some tape, and I've seen him. It's pretty impressive. And, you know, it's going to be a battle of two big guys and two strong kids. Hopefully neither one of them take it personally, because, I mean, it's a team game, and you want to see both those kids out on the court and not getting frustration fouls or anything like that. But they've had their battles. They know how to play against each other, and just looking forward to coaching one of these things.
Kaycock, the last year in particular, when he was actually getting significant playing time, kind of struggled in these two games. He was held to just 10 rebounds combined over the two outings. Have you talked with him about ways to have more success down there? Obviously, you weren't here for that last year, but have you talked about ways to have more success and get maybe some better positioning to be able to make some plays?
We haven't talked about that yet. You know, I think Devontae's come a long way since any of the outings that he's played against Gustis. But, Devontae's had a great year, and these past couple years, I don't think anybody set out to stop Devontae with their scouts, and now they are, and he's done a nice job with post position, obviously rebounding on the offensive end, because everybody knows that he's a great offensive rebounder, and they try and keep him off, and he still goes to it, and he's played against some other big guys. I mean, he's not picking on 6'3" players and 6'2" players. I mean, he's battling against the 6'9", 6'10" kids. So I think he's made a lot of strides, and I don't think we're going to necessarily harp on it. I think he'll figure it out as the game goes, and we'll just sort of play from there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, CB, thanks as always for your time here this morning, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good day.
All right, you too.